Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. We are glad to have you here this morning. If you can please turn off your cell phones and any other electrical devices as we listen to Donna's prelude. Thank you, Donna. That was beautiful. Again, welcome to First Christian Church. We are glad to have you here today. If you will please take a moment to fill out the friendship sheet that's on the inside of the pew. Fill out the information, pass it down, and then back to the center. If you're a visitor today, we would really like to get your information so that we can stay in touch with you. There are several announcements. If you take a look at the, what color is this? It's not goldenrod. Is it goldenrod? Is that goldenrod? Okay. I remember those colors, too, from grade school. So if you take a look, that we're lots of things going on. We have the CYF installation of officers on Saturday the 10th. All Saints Sunday will be next week. I think that the deadline is passed. Is that correct for getting in names? Okay. But we would love to have you here next week to celebrate and memorialize those who we've lost over the last 12 months. Diaconate meeting will be on Sunday the 11th. To discuss Thanksgiving dinner, which is actually going to be on the 18th. So we would love to have as many people come to that as possible. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board near the office. Also, Jack Waltz invites the congregation to join him at Oregon Trails Veterans Cemetery on Tuesday the 30th at 11 a.m. for a brief service as Betty's cremains are going to be interred. Pumpkin patch update. Yesterday was an incredible day. We had $2,388 in sales. Brings us up to over $15,500. We're wanting to try to reach that $20,000 mark, and I've challenged Steve Huckfeldt to buy $3,000 worth of pumpkins for us to do that. He said, you can say that, but it would be a lie. And I said, only if you don't do it. But it looks like it's another beautiful day in the patch, so please let people know. We'd like to get as many sold as possible before Wednesday, when it's supposed to be snowy and sleety and, you know, that typical Halloween weather. So we're still trying to reach 4,500 between now and Wednesday. Linda, you had an announcement? All right.
Has anybody but me noticed how busy it's been the last 4 or 5 weeks in the church? It's been a little crazy between the fall festival and the pumpkin patch and everything that's been going around. We talked about this, some of us, about 3 weeks ago, and today's the day. We're going to talk about the fact that October has been chosen as Pastor Appreciation Month. Not just our congregation, but a lot of congregations have had the same October date. What about the rest of the year? How can you continue to show your, well, Cynthia, and all the rest of the people that have been with us, Paul and the McNamaras and Jenny and Dr. Badger, how glad that we are that they are part of our church. So, to bless the pastor in our life, Cynthia, consider giving in the following things: the gift of showing up.
Amen.
Pastors and ministry leaders spend hours praying over the programs, services, and Bible studies. The least we can do is show up. The gift of prayer. I don't know about you guys, but I've heard, do you want to hear a better sermon? Pray for your pastor. Your pastor will appreciate the spiritual support. And thank you for considering how to bless your pastor and their family this October. And then remember to do it all year round also. I happen to have an adapted poem from the 23rd Psalm, written by Daniel Sherman. I think you'll like it. The Lord gave us shepherds. We're no longer in want. They help us find God's green pastures. They lead us along still waters, and they are used by God to restore our souls. They guide us by straight pathways, bringing honor to God's name. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are not afraid, because they walk with us. Their teaching and correction comfort and strengthen us. They help us stand strong in the face of evil. They are the oil of healing and health in our souls. Through them, God has overflowed our lives with blessing. Goodness and mercy are sure to follow us all our days, and we are secure in eternal life because the Lord gave us shepherds. We have a small token, one for Reverend Paul Halleck. I don't see, are the McNamaras here? No, okay. And we have one for Pastor Cynthia. So if you would pass the two out that we have. And I think everybody should give them a round of applause.
Linda, is this on top of the send your pastor and spouse to Australia thing that we talked? Okay, all right. Just wanted to check on that. I have heard that there is a, I feel like I'm, I don't know where you do this, at an arena or something, that there is a green Jeep with a tan roof with its lights on out in the parking lot. So if that is yours, you might want to take care of that rather than coming out and finding you can't start your vehicle. Last announcement that I wanted to make is that if you were planning to go to Phil and Becky Ostrander's house to trick-or-treat on Wednesday, don't bother. They won't be there because Thursday they are flying to China to pick up their son. So I have expressed how excited we are to meet Levi, and I'm not sure that their excitement about bringing him here and meeting us is as high as mine, but they're going to take a little time to get him adjusted and see how he goes. But they will be back in town on the 17th, and we hope to see them as soon as possible back in church with one more. So blessings on that trip for both Phil and Becky and for Levi, who is going to have a big change in his life. He doesn't even know yet, but I know that we will be cradling them with support and love all of that time. So congratulations to the two of you. All right. Now, if you will stand and greet one another as we pass the peace and be ready to sing our opening hymn number 687, In Christ There Is No East or West. Yeah, let's. Unless we want to be here till 1.
In Christ there is no east or west, in Him no south or north, but one God in Jehovah, who dwelleth abideth.
Please join me in the call to worship.
Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them."
For with two, if you fall, someone is there to help you up.
Let us consider how to spur each other on toward love's good deeds.
A threefold cord is not quickly broken.
So let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Please pray with me. Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered, you are there also. We hold especially close in our hearts the congregation of the synagogue in Pittsburgh, where people were gathered to worship you, and where a heinous act occurred. Be with that congregation and all those who are affected from that horrible tragedy. We know that you are with us. We know that in you there is no east or west, no north or south, because you bring us all together as community. And for that, we are eternally grateful. We ask for your blessings and for your praises and your love as we pray the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is number 573. We'll sing the first verse of Purer in Heart, O God. I invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Mr. Woods has brought a friend today. I'm so glad. I'm Pastor Cynthia. What's your name?
Royce.
Hi, Royce. Glad you guys are here. Oh, you know each other. How cool. You come to church and you find a friend you already know. Everybody gets a piece of paper. This is just paper from our recycling bin. I don't even know what is on it, but everybody gets a piece of paper. Real simple thing we're going to do. I want you to take your piece of paper and tear it in half. That was pretty easy, wasn't it? Now, we could sit here all day long just tearing paper, because that was so easy. Go ahead and put your paper back in the pile. It was so easy to do. But if I had a whole bunch of paper I wanted you to tear, it would take a while. So instead, we're going to just tear this whole stack of paper in half. Here, Why don't you try it? Yeah. Tear the whole thing in half. There you go. Oh, maybe your older brother can help you. We'll pass it over here. We'll let Royce and his friend take a try. It's a lot of paper. It's almost like trying to tear a phone book in half. Now maybe Mr. Phil could do it because he has a black belt. Wow, you're getting close. You're getting close. Well, the point of trying to tear this whole stack of paper, he made a little notch in about a fifth of it. That's good. You made a little notch. The point is that when we have a whole lot of paper all stacked together, it's a whole lot stronger than just one sheet. It was really easy to tear one sheet, wasn't it? You want to tear a sheet of paper again? Was that kind of fun? You don't care. When we are in church, each one of us is kind of like a single piece of paper. Our life is just one, but when we come to church, we come together with other people. And when all of us are together, we are a lot stronger. If we're together with our family, we're stronger than when we try to live just on our own. When we're together with our church, we're stronger than when we're just on our own. The gift of community is that it makes us stronger than we are as just individuals. So this morning, we're going to be talking a little bit about what it means to be part of a community. I want to thank all of you for coming here today. It's so good to see each of you. Let's have a prayer together. Lord, we thank you for the gift of community. We thank you for strength in numbers, for the encouragement we gain for one another. We thank you for our families and for our church family. Lord, we pray your blessing upon communities around the world that they might be healthy and strong and serve you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. You can head to Worship and Wonder in Sunday school. I won't ask Phil to tear the whole stack. As our children head out of the sanctuary, I encourage you to look at the prayer list that you'll find on the back of your bulletin. And as you do so, take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card shower this morning is for Greta Maxfield and Scott Kuiper, who were married last weekend. Prayers of congratulations, joy, and blessing upon their marriage. We've already mentioned that the Ostrander's Gotcha Day is coming up. We pray for safe travels to China and a joyous joining together with Levi, their son. Kathy Malloy and family appreciate your continued prayers for her sister Caroline. She has gone from the hospital to Elkhorn for rehab. We continue to pray for strength and healing for her. Rita Peterson's daughter Frankie is doing better. Some medication has helped her feel better this week. And Rita said, that means she's a little feisty, so pray for me so I have patience. Prayers for both of them. Judy Potter asks for prayers for grandson in Texas, Paul, who is struggling with mental health issues. Cal Decker asked prayers for his friend Scott Marcus, who has a tumor on his pancreas. And a co-worker of Dewey Smith suffered a seizure while in Montana, and he is in ICU there. The missionary we're lifting in prayer today is Mark Bale, who serves in Lesotho. Prayers of blessing upon all of our missionaries overseas. Dr. Badger has moved into a nursing home in the Loveland area. Prayers for him in this latest time of adjustment. One of our own may be leaving us soon. Virginia Braley has been a faithful member of our congregation for many, many years. She has graced our pews faithfully every Sunday except in the winter when she goes to Texas. Well, she's going to Texas, but she's not coming back. Virginia has family there, and it is a warmer climate, a good place for her to be. And so she may be with us next Sunday, but after that she is moving, and we will miss you so, Virginia. We pray for safe travels on your move and for God's blessing. You will be missed here. We've named already this morning prayers for the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, for families of the 11 victims in a serious act of violence there. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer, concerns or joys to share? Paul.
One of our members, our oldest member, Courtney Allen, will be celebrating her 102nd birthday on Friday. She's still very articulate, sharp as a cat, can see well, can hear well. It's difficult for her to come out and out into the community. And if it's possible, it's difficult for her to receive phone calls. But if it's possible for you to drop her a note and just wish her a happy birthday, she'd love it.
It would be wonderful for Winnie to receive a lot of prayer cards this week or birthday cards congratulating her on turning 102. And now we know the qualification. If you think you're getting too old to make it to church every Sunday, when you get 102, we'll give you an excused absence. Paul. Prayers for Paul Smith's wife, Melanie White. We are glad that she is out of the hospital, but she is still struggling with pain and trying to recover from surgery last fall. So prayers for Melanie. Tom.
Yeah, Wednesday I go in through my witch doctor. She got to stick me a couple needles on my knees. And I just reset the application from the TVA for one more year. One more year for the TVA. I'm back in the gym. And my bowling went downhill the last couple of years. Now my bowling went back up. I think a lot of dude being bullheaded.
Prayers for Tom as he has injections for his knee and continues to bowl with the PBA. Prayers that he is able to do well and is in good health. Prayers for Amber, specifically her ears are real clogged and stuffy, so it's still affecting her head. Paul again. So prayers specifically for Melanie on Tuesday as she has a colonoscopy, a screening for colon cancer. Are there others today? Becky. Prayers for all of the triplet family. We celebrated Billy's life last night with a service here in the sanctuary. Prayers for those who are grieving, for those who feel tension and are struggling. Prayers for all of the triplets. Jim.
Prayers for my wife. She's blood pressure is way up there, and she's taken, the doctor's given plenty of blood pressure medicine, and so she's taking something else, and so I'm just hoping that it's treatable, whatever it is.
Jim, I'm just completely blanking on her name.
Oh, Mary.
Mary. Prayers for Jim's wife, Mary, as she's struggling with blood pressure issues. Let us bring all of these concerns to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Good and gracious God, we ask your blessing upon all those concerns and joys that we have named this day. Lord, we rejoice with Greta and Scott at their marriage. We rejoice with Phil and Becky at their soon-to-be-complete family when they adopt Levi. Lord, we ask for safe travels, a joyous union, and a peaceful time of adjustment for this little one who will come all the way from China to make his home here in Casper. God, we pray for healing on all those that we have named. We ask your blessings to be upon Brent, Frankie, Caroline, Paul, Scott, Melanie, Mary Oliver, Tom, and Amber. Lord, you know the needs of each one in their daily lives. You know the ways in which they need strength, the ways in which their bodies need your touch of healing, and their spirits need your gift of hope. Oh God, we pray for healing. Lord, we pray for healing also for the family of Billy Triplett as they continue to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as they struggle with divisions and heartache. Lord, we pray for your spirit of peace to settle over them all. Help them each in their own way to grow closer to you, O God, just as Billy sought out your love in Jesus. Lord, we rejoice with Winnie as she prepares to celebrate her 102nd birthday. God, we thank you for the remarkable gift of her life, not just its long span, but the grace by which she stays in her own home and is mentally clear and sharp. Lord, we pray your blessing for Virginia as she moves to be with family in Texas. We pray, God, that once she is settled there, she may be able to find a church home that gives her comfort and courage and support, just as this congregation has. We pray for her health in the future and for peace in the time of moving. Lord, we ask your blessing to be upon Mark Bale as he serves as a missionary in Lesotho. We pray for our regional prayer partners, Pastor Dennis Charrington and the members of First Christian Church in Burlington. And Lord, in this month of clergy appreciation, we give thanks to you for all ministers and missionaries, for all chaplains and clergy, for all who serve in worship leadership in the life of churches. We pray for music ministers and choir directors, for elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers. Oh God, when we pray for ministers, in addition to praying specifically for those who are ordained and have given their lives to follow your calling, we pray for all who serve in ministry, that your spirit will be poured forth upon your people. Oh good and gracious God, it is clear that our world continues to need the presence of Christ. In times of violence and division, in times of hatred and hurt, Lord, we pray that you would use the church to be an instrument for healing, a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. We pray, O God, for Jewish brothers and sisters who are part of the family of your people on this earth, who have been known as your people, O God, for countless generations. We pray for those in Pittsburgh whose lives were ripped apart by violence at a synagogue, at a house of worship. Lord, we know that our world needs peace. We pray that you would use us to be strong voices for peace and justice, to advocate on behalf of those who have no voice in society, and to do so in ways that build bridges and strengthen community rather than causing strife and division. O Lord Christ, our world needs you. Lord Jesus, each one of us is in need of your love and your abiding presence. Continue to come in our midst and weave our lives together in Christian community, that we may bear witness, O God, to you, from our doorsteps to the ends of the earth. Amen.
The word communion, like the word community, comes from the root of commune, which means to come together. And in many ways in our Christian life, we can do this. There is no more clear example of this than on Sunday morning when we get to share communion together. Any who believe in Jesus Christ, who have opened their hearts and welcome him as their Lord and Savior, is welcome at this table. The meal is simple. The meaning is profound. And so when you come to the Lord's table today, we ask that you think about what you are doing. So often when we have communion, we may be thinking about other things. It just becomes something that we do each week. Today, take time to recognize that you are in relationship with God when you share that wafer and that bit of juice. Let us sing our communion hymn number 350, I Bind My Heart This Tide.
As we come to this table, we remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
O God of all time, you have been our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last and our eternal home. We give thanks for daily bread and the communion bread, which represents to us the broken body of Christ. We break the bread in his name and ask your presence now as we bring our personal prayers to you. As we begin a new week, we ask for your continued guidance. In renewed dedication, we seek to do your will. Amen.
Just as we have no community without members, we don't have a fully functioning church home without the support of our congregation. When you write that check or put that money in the plate today, again, I want you to think about the profound difference that that money can make both in this church and around the world. The same type of profoundness that we get when we enjoy communion. Our diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Maybe. Please pray with me. Lord, whether it's in the pumpkin patch, at the rescue mission, at King's Corner, or in our church, we know that what you do with what we provide expands well beyond the building here. We ask that you use these treasures as well as our time and talent to further your kingdom so that others get to know you. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today we are going to be reading in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 4, 1 through 12. It is found on your pew Bible on page 616. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are practiced under the sun. Look, the tears of the oppressed, with no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power with no one to confront them, comfort them. And I thought the dead who have already died more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But better than both is the one who has not yet been and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work comes from one person's envy of another. This also is vanity and a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and consume their own flesh. Better is a handful with quiet than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, the case of solitary individuals without sons or brothers, yet there is no end to all their toil, and their eyes are never satisfied with riches. For whom am I toiling, they ask, and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken.
You have heard our main scripture, our main sermon text for the day, but we will also hear a few verses from Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that gift of music, and thank you, Amber, for continuing to challenge us to sing and bring praises to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you promise where two or three gather in your name, you are there in your midst. So we have gathered this day. And we ask that you, in our midst, will reveal your will for our lives. Speak to us, Holy One, through your word. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ecclesiastes is part of what is called wisdom literature, which includes the Psalms and Proverbs in the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon. Passages that contain advice on how to live, reflections on life in this world. The book of Ecclesiastes is credited to King Solomon, though we're not sure who the original author was. He identifies himself as the preacher, the speaker, the one proclaiming to an assembly. The word Ecclesiastes itself comes from a Greek word meaning a gathering or an assembly. So this morning we seek a portion of the wisdom that is assembled here for us to hear. I would like you to focus on the last verse you heard read. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Just like a stack of paper is not easily torn, whereas one sheet might be simply shredded. If you have a single thread, that can snap. But if you have a cord that is twined together with multiple strands, it is stronger. Sometimes this simple verse from Ecclesiastes 4 is used in wedding ceremonies. There's even a specific tradition called the God's Knot that developed in Hispanic cultures but has traveled around the world. Now many brides choose to use this tradition. It's similar in some ways to the idea of lighting a unity candle, where two separate candles represent two individual lives that come together in one flame. That's a more familiar symbol at a wedding for many of us. The God's Knot takes three cords, and those three strands are actually braided together by the bride and the groom during their wedding ceremony. The three strands represent the bride and her family, the groom and his family, and Christ, the Lord, God in their midst. This morning, I would like to invite us to think about a threefold strand, with one strand representing you, your life, your weave, your strength, your skills, your gifts, you who you are at the essence of your very own self as one individual. Think of that, hold that in your mind as one cord. And then lie aside next to that a visual image of a second cord representing God, representing the divine one, representing Jesus. A cord that speaks to you of the gift of faith. And then I invite you to bring into that image a third strand, a strand to represent the church, a gift of community. And then visually, throughout the sermon this morning, weave those three strands together, if you will. Reflect on how your life and the church's life and God are intertwined together, and each one of us is stronger because of it. Though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Oftentimes, when we talk about the church, the first thing that comes to mind is a physical place, a building. Our congregation is so blessed by this wonderful facility that we call home, that we think of as God's home, the beauty of the stained glass window in front of us, the comfort of the pews. The history of memory in this place speaks powerfully to those who have been members here for a long time. Tammy and Raylan Heck were married in this sanctuary. So when their daughter, Melissa, knew it was time for her to be married, this is where she wanted to be wed. That wonderful celebration happened just last week, and we rejoice with Melissa and Sterling as they begin their journey together as husband and wife. It was important for them to be in this place where she grew up knowing faith. Even though they live in Buffalo now, and this isn't their church home, it is still a significant part of who they are, and they wanted their marriage to begin here. But the church as place is more than about just the place. Billy Triplett, when he got to the end of his life, moved back from Pahrump, Nevada to Casper, Wyoming on purpose because he wanted to be close to family and close to his church family. It was important for him to be able to worship in this place again and to be able to connect with you, his friends, his church family. What a wonderful gift it was for Billy that Becky took him communion after he moved back home, that he was able to be in worship until his health failed. And just last night, we celebrated his life here. That's what Billy would have wanted, to have his life be remembered in his church. So that strand of our threefold cord that represents church truly represents community. It represents people who are in relationship one to another. Those relationships stretch beyond the physical boundary of time or place. I know that when Virginia moves to Texas, she won't just flip a switch in her brain and forget about First Christian Church Casper. When she's there and happy, being close to her kids, being well taken care of and cared for, enjoying warm winter weather, and watching on the TV the cold and snow that might be hitting mid-Wyoming, she will still remember us. The cord of our lives will stay entwined. 20 years from now or so, when I'm retired from active ministry, I will remember each of you and the ways in which our lives have been intertwined together. That binding of the cord that is Christian community lasts beyond time and place. Charles and I recently went back to Illinois to attend a wedding of a young man, Russell Matthews. The Matthews family were members of First Christian Church in Bloomington, where we served for about 10 years before being called by God to come here. At one point, as Russell was growing up, his family moved away from Bloomington to a small town called Mahomet in Illinois. With some families, a move down the road is enough to sever ties between people and church. But the Matthews were still connected to us. Russell was in numerous plays in high school, and so every year Charles and I would go to watch his play, to see the musical that he was in. It ended up becoming a family affair. We would have dinner together with his parents, Jim and Marianne, his older sister Courtney, his little brother John. John had Down's syndrome, and after they moved to Mahomet, sadly and tragically, one day, John was struck by a car when he was crossing the street in front of his school. When Jim and Marianne had to bury their precious little boy, of course they called the church in Bloomington that had been their place of connection with God. And of course we went and were there together. The ties that bind us run deep. The ties of Christian community connect us as strongly as a threefold cord that cannot be broken, joining together individual lives and the church and God into one holy weaving, one great presence. The ties that bind us connect us as well with those in generations that have gone before. You and I are connected through faith with Paul, with Peter, with Mary Magdalene, with Abraham and Miriam. We are connected with Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Our lives are twined together. When I think of people who have managed to live out Christian community in profound and significant ways, an individual who comes to mind for me is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a German theologian during the increase of the rise of Nazism in that country. Dietrich was originally a Lutheran pastor, part of the German Lutheran Church, the national church. As time passed in history, the followers of Hitler were able to co-opt that national church and to use it to promote propaganda that included hate against the Jews and against minorities, against people who were not part of the, quote, Aryan race. Early on in his ministry, Dietrich knew that that was contrary to the gospel. It was contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ. So at great personal risk, he spent his vocational life with a group that came to be known as the Confessing Church, a church that tried to embody the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, to have an attitude of humility and service more than self-aggrandizement. Dietrich Bonhoeffer ended up dying in a Nazi concentration camp. But the writings of his life continue to influence others who are moved to follow in the steps of Jesus. His book, The Cost of Discipleship, makes clear the importance of commitment we have as Christians to one another. The sacrifices that are sometimes called upon for us to live in community, to be bound together. This coming week, you'll receive a letter from the Stewardship Commission inviting you to pray about your pledge for next year if you're a member of the church, to reflect on what you might be able to give to support ministry here at First Christian Casper. That financial thread of your life is only one strand of who you are. And as stewards, we're called to care for every strand of our lives, to be stewards of our time and our talent, our abilities, to be stewards of the world in which we live, and to be stewards of our relationships. When your letter comes and you start to think about your pledge and you're praying about how your family budget fits with the church's need and God's need for you to be engaged in ministry, I invite you to remember the image of a threefold cord, three strands in your life, your own life and your family, God's life, and the church's life. What sacrifice are you being called to make to keep your life intertwined with that of others? Ecclesiastes 4 begins with the preacher giving this reflection. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are practiced under the sun. Look, the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors was power. On the side of the oppressed, no one to comfort them. To read the entire book of Ecclesiastes, you run the risk of at times feeling the gloom of someone weighted down by the struggle of the world. Time and time again, this author uses the Hebrew word hebel, sometimes translated as vanity. He says, vanity upon vanities, I looked, and all was vanity, all was waste, all was useless. He reflects on the toil of people working to earn money, and he says, it's useless, it's hebel, what does it add up to? It's a rather depressing read until you read it in the context of God's love and the realization that the coming of Christ can redeem all of humanity. All that we spend wasteless effort on can actually be used for God's glory. Perhaps Ecclesiastes wasn't written that long ago. Though it dates to 250 BC or before, perhaps it could be written today. I saw all the oppressions that are practiced under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed. If you watched the news this week, you know the perspective of the person who wrote Ecclesiastes. Because if you watched the news, you heard stories about pipe bombs being sent in the mail to people across the country from one coast to the other. If you watched the national news, then you heard about the bombing, the shooting, the violence. You heard about the tragedy at a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh. And perhaps like me, your heart was broken open. Why is it that the human condition continues to return to a place of hate? Dietrich Bonhoeffer lived in a generation when it was publicly popular to hate the Jews and others. Perhaps his era is not too different from our own. The world needs the church to speak and teach and work and serve for God's love for all people. Sometimes the tragedies in the world don't even make the headlines because there's so much awful stuff going on that minor things get lost and the cracks in between. I heard this week from a friend about a tragedy here in Wyoming. In the community of Lander, Holy Trinity Episcopal Church was the subject of what is being regarded as a hate crime. There was graffiti and a threat of violence against that congregation because of their advocacy for the LGBTQ community. It happened on Friday, the same day when Matthew Shepard's remains were interred in the National Cathedral, an Episcopal church in Washington, D.C. So it's easy to imagine that in someone's hate-filled mind, there was a connection between those two events, and they chose that date to make a statement on the side of hate. The church must rise and make a statement on the side of love. The three chords we are called to live in are intertwined intimately. We cannot pull God out of our lives if we are a Christian and just live as an individual with no consequence for our faith in Christ. And if we are followers of Christ and our lives are intertwined with His, we cannot pull ourselves apart from Christian community. Yes, we can worship individually and pray and study Scripture. Yes, we can hike on the mountain and be in nature and be in the presence of God. But to be Christian is inherently to belong to a community. To risk having my life intertwined with the life of someone else who might see Jesus in a way differently than I do. And in our conversation with one another, our faith is challenged and strengthened. I was pleased that at the breakfast table this morning, the folks I was eating with engaged in conversation about one of many difficult issues facing our country. There were perspectives articulately expressed on two different sides of immigration. Both expressed a concern for our country and for the well-being of humanity. We live in a time when issues seem so complex and overwhelming, there's no easy solution. It's all the more crucial for us to cling together to one another and to Christ, to continue to weave our lives together so that that threefold cord might not be broken. In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus say, "Where two or three are gathered together, I am there among them." And speaking of prayer, he says, "Truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." I wonder, did Jesus know how hard it is for two people to agree in this day and age? Surely he did, because he had 12 disciples, 12 apostles, 12 friends, who did not always agree. And so he was teaching them that when you pray, it's not just about what you want as an individual. It's about what you collectively, as followers of Christ, truly discern to be God's call. And when our lives are united together and we pray, God will answer that prayer. May we continue to live courageously, to intertwine our lives with one another, and to be rooted in Christian community, to know that we belong to God. May it be so. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today reminds us that we stand on the promise of Jesus' love above all else. You'll find it on page 552 in your hymnal. If there's anyone here who's looking for a church home this morning or has moved to give your heart to Christ, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of 552. there is coffee waiting for us downstairs and refreshments to share in a time of fellowship. I hope that you will stay and visit with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord God, we are part of a threefold strand, with your love at the center, our lives and the lives of Christian community entwined around you. Holy One, send us forth this week, remembering that you are our anchor, our center cord, the foundation on which we stand. May we live your promises and share your love with all we meet. In Christ's name, amen.